Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We're looking forward to a lively dialogue and discussion today. We're going to be talking about the election nightmare. Election nightmare. Will we ever wake up? Will the nightmare be over? What will be the result of the nightmare? What will be the end result as of January the 6th, 2021, when the electoral votes are counted by a joint session of Congress? That's where we're going today. I pray that you'll stay tuned. Invite others to join in this dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we do not face the issues based on a philosophical rhetoric, some denominational dogma. Do not face the issues based on political agendas, but simply based on the authority of the Word of God. That's the truth book, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And it's in God's Word that Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, he's speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be the truth spoken today, perhaps as never before. Jesus says then in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then he further relates to us truth. He says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the Word of God. It is the truth book. It is the source book for our life and living. I commend it to you. There's so many people today that's not looking for truth. They're speaking half truth, part truth, or no truth at all. And it's the secularist George Orwell that many years ago said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And may I say to you today, we're finding that to be truth more than I have seen in my lifetime. If you don't believe that, just join in dialogue and discussion with anyone about the mask mandate taking place nationally. Ask them about the coming vaccination mandate, the COVID pass. Talk with them about the election and whether or not Joe Biden is president-elect or if there's any such office as president-elect. And you'll find a major despairing response in relationship to your dialogue and discussion on that. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We're finding that to be absolutely fact today in the society in which we are living in. It's the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a very powerful statement that I believe is apropos for every Christian today. He says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that's the intent of this broadcast each day, is to defend the truth, stand for the truth, speak the truth, love the truth, and live the truth, tell the truth. And that is vital if we're going to find anything called survivability of society today, is to stand on the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators, for the power backup equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag flows 24/7, 165-foot flagpole, and the U.S. flag, the Old Glory, flying 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you today that you're invited to join the dialogue and discussion. We'll be talking about the election nightmare. We'd love to have your dialogue and discussion on that. Later in the broadcast, we'll be interviewing someone relative to that, that I pray that will have some answers for us on this issue. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I love your program. I want to know what you think about the Nashville bombing and if any way it's connected to the election fraud.
Very frankly, I think that it's directly connected, and there's not a nexus yet that's been revealed by the FBI. The FBI seems to be in a state of consternation as to what caused it. I personally believe that it's because so much of the election information and data was stored there in the AT&T building, and I believe the bomber knew exactly what he was doing with it. He took himself out with it, so there's no way for questions and dialogue and discussion with him to get the rationale behind it. But he had something in mind. He made mention to his next-door neighbor that the world and Nashville and the world would never forget him. And I believe there's a direct link, whether or not we'll find out before the finalization of this election process on January the 6th or after. But I believe there is an absolute nexus to that. And I think that multitudes today realize that, but it's kind of a silent understanding without any dialogue and discussion. Of course, the Marxist news media is not saying anything about it as though it never took place even. So I believe that's the nexus as I see it. Have you any other thoughts on that or any interest from the standpoint of saying what you feel or think or you've read?
No, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. Thank you for staying tuned to Let's Face the Issues each day. Ladies and gentlemen, November the 3rd, November the 3rd, 2020, the election that supposedly took place then, is not over. Perhaps you realize that. Perhaps you understand that. The election is not over. Anyone watching or listening to the election evidence and the results of the election must come to the, if you're thinking, if you're using your mind rather than just listening as a robot to the Communist Network News, if you're listening, if you're tuned into some of the facts and the details in the battleground states and what has taken place, you must recognize that the results is fraud. We must recognize and realize that the election evidence that is there, the results and the fraud that has taken place must recognize that this presidential election is not over. But it is a continuing nightmare. It's a continuing nightmare. And the thing that is so concerning for me and brings about such great consternation, I believe, for every conservative, for every Christian, and for every patriot in America, is the fact that the news on that has been simply silenced. In fact, in all social media, nothing is being allowed to be transmitted that will question or challenge the election outcome. Nothing is being allowed to be transmitted on Facebook or any of the other social media platforms because they know that they need to keep this thing silent as much as possible until after January the 6th, 2021, when the electoral votes are supposed to be sustained, counted, sustained, and verified, and then make the determination of who won this election. Yes, we're still in that continuing nightmare. Yes, it is a nightmare. But I believe there's going to be a soon awakening. I believe we're going to wake up and recognize the truth of what has taken place. I believe there'll be a soon awakening. And I'm praying, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm praying, seeking God's face and asking God to intervene. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in November of 2016, it was God's divine intervention that placed Donald J. Trump in the office of President of the United States of America. It was not by happenstance. It was not by anything that was done necessarily other than the people voting, but it was God's divine intervention. And had it not been for God's divine intervention, November of 2016, we would not have had the four-year reprieve from God's judgment. Hear me. From God's judgment that I believe shall be evident and shall be revealed if Biden, Joe Biden, Basement Biden, Sleepy Joe Biden, if he is sworn in as President of the United States of America. I believe, and you can counter it if you like, you can disagree if you like, you can have other opinions if you like, that is your absolute privilege, but I believe that God's judgment will start to be seen and revealed in a cascading form across America if Biden goes into office. We will have destroyed the foundation of our great nation. And the scripture is very, very clear in Psalms chapter 11 and in verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we need to understand it is the righteous that stands to lose the most in this election result. Hear me well. If Joe Biden is sworn in and carries out just a portion of what he has already stated that he would do, if he carries out just a portion of what the Looney Tune left, the socialist, Marxist, communist infiltration in America, if they have their way through the puppet straw man that will be Joe Biden, he simply is a puppet. He's the Trojan horse. He will not be long as the President of the United States. Kamala Harris and or others will have taken his place. Joe Biden is not cognitive enough to carry out the work. But if just a portion of what they intend to do is carried out, the foundations of America will be destroyed. Religious liberties will be no more. We will not have the freedom of speech. We will not have the religious freedom to worship. Joe Biden's already stated that he would carry out the work of a national shutdown, a national lockdown, a national mask mandate, all of which, ladies and gentlemen, if you studied the Constitution, all of which is absolutely unconstitutional, it is unholy, it is illegal, and yet it's being carried out. This is the reason there's been a major outcry from people like Senator Rubio, Senator Rand Paul, in relationship to the dictatorial rules, regulations, and guidelines by many of the mayors and governors across America that's enacted by their own fiat rules, that which is unconstitutional, and the mandates by executive orders. Executive orders happen not to be legal. They happen not to be law. And yet that is the thing that's running America today. So if Joe Biden is sworn in, and this I say this at this juncture in this broadcast today, if Joe Biden is sworn in as president, we will have a tectonic shift in what America is, who we are, and the freedoms that we have today as Americans. We the people will become slave servants to the dictatorial rules and regulations of the government. Government is supposed to be of the people, for the people, and by the people. That will be inverted, and the people will become sheeple, total slave servants. This is the reason many did not pick up on it. Recently, when Joe Biden was in Atlanta and Stacey Abrams was in the audience, he was praising her for the work that she had done in the November election. And he said, and I quote, Joe Biden said publicly, if we had 10 Stacey Abrams doing the work that she's done, he said, we could rule, we, speaking of Joe Biden, we can rule the world. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks are not playing. They are for real. And they have the goal, the ultimate modus operandi carrying out that goal, to be the dictatorial rule of America. It was Chuck Schumer just a few weeks ago that made the statement that if we can take Georgia, speaking of the two Senate seats in Georgia, if we can take Georgia, we'll be able to control the world. And then he says, with his second statement, as he puts his mask on the street corner at his limo, He said, we can control and rule America. They're not looking for leadership. They're looking for that dictatorial ruling of a nation. And I can't emphasize enough the serious standing that we're in, the serious position that we're in this nightmare that's called the 2020 election. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an absolute fraud that has been perpetrated upon us in the nation today. The socialist Marxist BLM Democrats and the Marxist media would have us to believe that in some way, Joe Biden, with no real campaign, with no big rallies, with no news conferences, with no media questions, that somehow really he won the presidential election. Now, if you, I've said to others and I'll say publicly, if you believe that, I will dismantle the Buckman Bridge and reinstall it in your backyard free of charge. If you believe that Joe Biden won this election, he had no election campaign. He simply, as he would speak, sometimes it'd be to 5 to 7 to 10 people. Occasionally he'd have 30 or 40. But rare was he even out of his basement, simply because he knew, just as Chuck Schumer knew, just as Nancy Pelosi knew, that there was a method that was being put into place to fraudulently steal this election. And we're on the very cusp of seeing the finalization of this nightmare that's called the election. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you believe the election is over? Do you believe that it was fraudulently carried out? Do you believe that there is an ultimate redress of the problem? Do you believe that January the 6th, when the electoral votes are counted with the House and the Senate and their combined congressional meeting, do you believe that that's going to resolve the issue? What do you think is going to take place? I'd love to hear from you. Your dialogue and discussion is invited. Ladies and gentlemen, the New York Times best-selling author of the book, The Election Heist, Ken Timmerman, said, and he predicted, by the way, in his book, predicted the scheme to steal the election. And he says, and I quote, the election is not over. And I believe that he's exactly right. The election is not over. We're still in the election mode and the process of carrying out that election. Here's the article. Author Kenneth R. Timmerman predicted the exact scheme that is playing itself out in Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and elsewhere, where Democrat Party operatives apparently hacked into the voting tabulation software to alter the vote count on election night. The book describes in exacting detail the Democratic plan to hack election software and to make sure they, quote, win in the states where they know they're sure to lose. Just as now, it appears to have happened in Atrium County, Michigan, and possibly in 46 other Michigan counties, and how honest election officials can eventually expose it. Timmerman completed the election heist last December, and the book went into the galleys in February, full 9 months before the election. Find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, that in Timmerman's book, he made the prediction of what would happen, how it would take place, and the end result of it. And it was almost as though the book was written after the election, because he was right on target with the points that he made and the thesis and the theme that was carried out in his book. So may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, it's something that is coming about. I call it the election nightmare, because we are in that election nightmare. And the election is not over, as he said. As you're aware, on January the 6th, the House and the Senate, ladies and gentlemen, January the 6th will meet. They will meet in a joint session. And the purpose of that is to count the electoral votes to determine the real election winner for the President of the United States of America. May I say to you, as you listen today, it is incumbent upon we the people. It's incumbent upon everyone that's listening, that tuned into the sound of my voice today, that we pray, we seek God's face, and we humble ourselves, and we ask God to intervene. We ask God to give us another 4 years after his divine intervention in 2016, an additional 4 years in withholding his judgment on America. Now, perhaps you ask the question, why do I say that it will be God's judgment on our nation. It's because we've turned our backs on God. We banned God. We banned the Bible. We've banned prayer in Jesus' name. We have allowed the socialist, Marxist, communist to become dominant in our colleges and our universities across America. We've taught our youngsters today, the millennial generation, that America is bad, that things that God has done is bad, and that we need a change. And the change they're seeking so often, in fact, over half the millennials say today that we need a socialistic system. I believe we have Bob on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, I only have one question, and that is, who was in charge on January 6th of the proceedings? Who is the person that's going to make the decisions on what happens?
That's an interesting question. I've read probably 8 or 10 articles on that. Each one has a slightly different nuance as to what will take place and how it would be carried out. But as I understand it, with the best authority that I can determine, it will be at the joint session of the House and Senate. Vice President Pence will be the one that will read out the numbers and will give the quotation, give the quote as to the number of electoral votes from each of the states. And then after he's done that, if any one of the legislators, the House or the Senate, if anyone were to challenge the vote, if anyone were to disagree with the numbers or the electoral votes that are cast by the state, it throws it into a total state of chaos. Let me just read to you, and for the benefit of our audience, an article here says, it is sufficient if only one House of Congress objects to the Electoral College vote on January the 6th, 2021, to compel the House of Representatives to vote for the President of the United States. The question is whether both houses of Congress need to reject a state's Electoral College vote for an objection made during the joint session of Congress on January the 6th of 2021 to prevail. As explained in this article, both houses of Congress do not have to agree to reject a state's Electoral College votes for those votes to be voided. And he goes on then with what I call 5 different scenarios. But he states in this, there are 5 scenarios under Section 15 of the Electoral College Act of 1887 for counting and resolving Electoral College vote disputes in the joint session of Congress. Scenarios 1 through 4 deals with the cases in which both houses either agree or disagree on the regularity of the votes. Scenario 1, this article says, only case in which Congress receives just one Electoral College return and both houses must agree to reject it. Scenario 5 is the only one of the 5 scenarios in which 2 houses disagree, but it only applied to the Congress receives, if the Congress receives competing electoral returns. Goes on now with such disagreements, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line, as I understand it, and I understand right now there's about 8 or 10 House members and Senate members that's going to stand and object to the numbers. That being done, that being said, then the joint session of House and the Senate goes into a 2-hour dialogue and debate. There must be a resolution determined in that 2 hours. It is set constitutionally for it to be only 2 hours. Now, if there cannot be a resolution determined, as I understand it, then Nancy Pelosi could become an interim president until the House of Representatives elect a president. And in doing the election of a president by the House of Representatives, there will be 1 vote per state. And right now we have 36 states, I believe, that have Republican governors. And if that hangs true, and each state has only 1 vote, and we've got 36 that are governed by Republicans, that means the high probability would be that we would have President Donald J. Trump reelected as of the congressional joint meeting on January the 6th. Now, if that is not the case, Nancy Pelosi could remain interim president until the courts make a determination. So this can come out good, or we can have major chaos and confusion for months as to who the real president of the United States would be. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's funny, though, because you have, like, five different scenarios, and it's sort of like, well, who decides which scenario, you know?
Well, that's the thing that, quite frankly, is causes consternation for me. It's because I don't believe this has been done but one time. That was back in the 1800s. And our founding fathers were geniuses, being guided, I believe, by the Holy Spirit of God in the writing of our founding documents that sets out a formula by which this can be resolved. Now, whether or not that formula is followed, or whether or not they bring in rules and resolutions that then will be voted on, they could detract from it or derail it, only God knows. So it is my prayer that it will be so concise and so clear-cut that there will not be that confusion that could very easily set in. In fact, one of the statements that I have read recently, the Director of National Intelligence, about the election issues, said that these things need to be resolved before the winner is declared. In fact, the article reads, the top U.S. intelligence officials suggested on Sunday that election lawsuits and other issues need to be resolved first before the winner can be determined for the presidential office, or the president office of president. Now, we know that over 60 cases have been filed in the courts, and the courts in every state, as well as the United States Supreme Court, they refuse to hear the facts. They've refused to hear the, if you please, the issues and the details and the evidence. They've just simply out of hand said that you do not have standing. I believe we are watching the court system close its eyes, turn its back on giving right resolution to this issue, that we should have never gotten to the point where we have the quagmire and having to go to a January the 6th debate and debacle as to who the president of the United States of America is. But this election, make no mistake, this election is fraudulent. Make no mistake, this election has been stolen if it continues down the track that it's on today. So it demands, this issue demands, that as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, that we pray and ask God to intervene and give clarity and give a resolution and to allow President Donald J. Trump to be placed back in office, sworn in for another 4 years, to continue to drain the sewer, not a swamp, it's a sewer in Washington. The thing that brings me fear and consternation, Bob, is the fact that we have so many rhino Republicans in Washington. We have so many spineless Republicans that are also, in my opinion, that are also on the take from China and from Ukraine and from Russia and other foreign entities, that they're on the payroll themselves, and they'd rather see someone else, i.e. Joe Biden, than President Trump go into office. That's my concern. My concern is we do not have enough true patriots that carry the banner of Republican that will take a stand as they should. If two or three take a stand on January the 6th, if a half a dozen or a dozen take a stand, that's wonderful. But why not have the total Republican caucus to take a stand from the House and the Senate and demand that this be done? That's my prayer, that God will grow a spine, grow a backbone in some of these Republicans rather than having the rhinos carry the day on January the 6th. So it deserves our prayer and our attention, Bob. So keep on praying, keep on looking up, and understand that God is still on the throne. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're talking about the election nightmare. What is the resolution? What's going to take place? What's the end result on January the 6th?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.